Ouch. Ouch. That is how one person responded when they heard what I was preaching on today. I told them what I was preaching on, they said, ouch. And I replied, I know, tell me about it. We are in a little summer series of Proverbs, going through Proverbs at the moment. And I don't know about you, but I've really been enjoying this time. I mean, I've been the one preaching, but what I mean is I've been enjoying looking at these issues that can come up in the book of Proverbs that don't necessarily come up many other parts of the scriptures. So 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the importance of the way we use our words. Last week, we were looking at the very, very countercultural command to not lean on our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in all our ways. And this morning, here's the ouch, I want us to look at the very difficult subject of greed. Greed. Can we all say ouch together? Ouch! That's right. Now, it's just worth asking at the start, why? Why is this an ouch topic? Why do we say ouch to that? Well, here are, I think, four of, I'm sure, many reasons why this might be a bit of an ouch topic. First of all, is the obvious ouch factor. For many of us, we know that this is obviously an issue that we struggle with. It stings a little to talk about this for some of us because we know that we have a tendency towards being greedy. Now, when we talk about greed, we can talk about lots of things. We can talk about money. We can talk about possessions. We can talk about attention or food or whatever it might be. But some of us know that we are greedy. And therefore, it's awkward when we speak about these sorts of things. So it would be like if I was to preach on don't desire to be rich at the annual shareholders meeting. That's difficult, right? Or if I was to preach on don't lust at the halftime break at a One Direction concert. That's going to be awkward. Or if I was to preach on do everything without complaining or arguing at a members meeting. That's going to be difficult, right? It might be true and necessary to hear, but it's not always easy. And for some of us, greed is like that. It's an issue like that. So I just want to own this and be honest about that this morning before my church family. This is an issue for me. It will not have passed you by that I am overweight. Now, I really want to say really, really very clearly, it is the case that for many, many people who are overweight, it's absolutely nothing to do with being greedy. It can be all sorts of other medical issues and whatnot. But I'd be lying if I said that wasn't a factor in me being overweight. Ever since I've been a child, this has been a struggle of mine. And part of the reason for being overweight is that I can be greedy. I can want and I can take more than I need. So, ouch. Yeah, I feel that, and it's important that we acknowledge that. And just like a hard word from a doctor is not always easy to hear. Not always easy to deal with, but it's so important that we hear those hard words. Now, I knew I was going to say that, and I just thought it'd be helpful, just as an aside for a moment, having used that as an example, let me just give a couple of comments on that. Firstly, it's worth me saying that it's a great source of sorrow and regret to me that I do not set a good example for my brothers and sisters in the church in this regard. I'm very sorry about that. The Bible says that we should take care of our bodies. It's really very, very clear about that. The Bible says that the elders are to set an example. In 1 Peter 5, verse 4, it says that elders are to be self-controlled. And truthfully, I have not served you well in this regard. And for that, I apologize. And I can only assure you that I'm not flippant about this issue. I have good months and good years and bad years. I would value your prayers, but I do regret that. And the second thing I wanted to say about that is one might ask, in light of what I've shared there, Martin, what gives you the right then to preach on this issue of greed? And I would respond to that by saying, that's absolutely right. And you could say that for every other topic in the Bible as well. For anyone who stands up here and preaches, their ultimate authority is not by any means themselves. I am not asking you to look at me when we come to God's word. May it never be. I say ultimate authority because there is a sense in which elders are to set an example, and that is part of our calling to lead and set an example. But it's only to the extent that we point towards the perfect example, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who never lets us down, who's never, ever greedy. Only to the extent that we can point you towards His perfect word, His instruction. And only to the extent that we can show that we are resting in His perfect work, resting firm on the gospel and what He has achieved for those who are in Christ, standing firm every day, every week, that the gospel is hope for weary sinners like me and like you. So I am not your ultimate example. Jesus is. That's why I can feel free, and it's hard sometimes, but I'm always praying, God, help me feel free to speak your word boldly, because it's your word and it's not about me. We're calling people to look to Jesus and his word this morning. I am not your ultimate authority. I'm far, far from it. God's word is our authority, and God's word is clear and very difficult on this issue of greed. So, yes, for many of us, this is an obvious ouch issue. The second reason why this might be an ouch issue is the hidden ouch factor. Sometimes we're greedy and we know this is a challenge for us, but sometimes for others of us, we don't even know that we are greedy, but we are, if we're honest about it. We haven't necessarily set out to be careless on the issue, but as we reflect back or as we consider it a little more deeply, we realize we do indeed fall short in this area. So an example of this, some of our church family, as you know, have just come back from South Africa, and they have beheld in that time a depth of poverty that is difficult for them to understand. And during that time out there, as some of you know, we've moved house recently, and I was looking for a decent bin to buy for our kitchen. And I'm looking at, you know, all the different websites and all the rest of it. And during that time, no joke, I get a WhatsApp in from one of the team in South Africa who was making the comment that on their way to the store, they just saw some children digging in bins for some things that they can sell on to other people. And here I am looking for bins to buy and surprised at how expensive they are. And, you know, so what do we do with those sorts of issues there? Is it greedy to buy a bin? Well, probably not. Some bins? Probably. Do we need to spend £200 on a bin? Probably not. Some of us know that this is an issue, but for others of us, perhaps without even thinking about it, we have greedy inclinations, and we need to dig deep. We need to search our hearts on this issue. It's difficult, and it can be an ouch moment. Third reason why probably so many of us have difficult greed issues to deal with is this. It's the cultural ouch factor. We live in a culture which is soaked in consumerism. More money, more possessions, more holidays, more luxury, more leisure. These are all seen as the things that you have to tap into if you truly want to be happy, if you truly want to be at peace. So into that culture, a message on greed is very, very difficult. Partly because we're soaked in that consumeristic culture, but also partly because it's complex, it's difficult when we're right in that culture. So for example, let's say your company has issued you with a BlackBerry phone some years ago, and you find out that your company is upgrading everyone's phone to an iPhone 6. Do you need to make a moral stand in that moment and refuse the phone upgrade? Now, on one level, you might say, well, you know, there's a greediness about us upgrading to these phones because our email works fine before, we can phone who we need to. So do you need to make a moral stand in that, or can you just go along with it? These are not simple issues. We're in a culture which is soaked in consumerism. For the record, I don't think you do need to make a moral stand in that issue, okay? But I'm pointing out that these are complex things. Same with holidays, cars, houses, clothes, kitchen bins, right? It's difficult to know what's greedy, what's not. Where do I draw a line? Where do I say, no, no, the Bible says we should not be greedy, so I am not going to take X, Y, or Z. Our culture is soaked in this stuff, so it's difficult. And then finally, there is the spec plank ouch factor. Another aspect which makes this topic challenging is how much easier it is to judge someone else for being greedy than to look in our own lives and ask God how we're doing on this point. We love to make ourselves feel better by looking at others who we perceive to be worse than us at this and drawing certain conclusions about their lifestyle. Usually the conclusions we draw about them and about us make them look worse and us look better, and we can justify ourselves in that way. I was thinking, isn't it interesting that some forms of greed are constantly trivialized? the "oh, I've eaten too much" line at the end of a meal. How many of us, all of us have said that at some point? Why have you eaten too much? Well, you ate more than you needed. You were slightly greedy, okay? So we can laugh at that. Or, for example, the roll of the eyes when a family member comes back and they've bought some ridiculously outrageous item, or they've come back with not just one bag of clothes, but eight bags of clothes, and we can be like, "oh, there they go again." Now, we can trivialize some of these things, but other forms of greed are hugely vilified. For example, think of the comments since 2007-8 and over these last years towards the banking industry and some of the hatred and the vile that has been spoken of the greed of these bankers, so-called. The point is this. We love to compare as it suits us. We love to find ways that we can make ourselves feel better because other people have done worse on this than us. And I just want to encourage us this morning. Can we pray for grace right now? Just in your heart, whisper prayers of grace to put that inclination aside, to stop thinking about the speck of wood in your brother or your sister's eye, and ask God, "okay, God, show me the plank that is right there in my eye." This is a difficult subject, and we need help from the Lord to investigate our own lives, okay? What I'd like to do this morning is read a bunch of verses from Proverbs on this issue and try and show how significant it is in this book. And then 2 weeks ago, we jumped back to Numbers and looked at words there. Last week, we stayed in Proverbs. This morning, we're going to jump forward and see how are these Proverbs talked about, how is this issue of greed talked about in the New Testament. Because here's the reason why we're doing that. I'm going to give the game away really up front. Here's what the Bible has to say about being greedy. It says, we should not be greedy. That's pretty much the summary of this message this morning, okay? So there you go. It's there. But we want to dig down a level. We want to say, why are we not to be greedy? Why does the Bible make a big deal of this? And that's what we're going to do. So let's look at some of these verses in Proverbs. They're going to come up on the screen. Proverbs 1:19. We're using a number of different translations of the scriptures here. Proverbs 1:19. "Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life." Proverbs 15:16. "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord." I mean, almost no message in our culture is saying that. It's better with a little. "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." Are you chasing after great treasure? Proverbs 15:27. "Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live." Now, it's important to acknowledge there is a thread in the Proverbs that speaks specifically to greed, which comes as a result of unjust gain, when you're being greedy and trampling over people to get there. There is one thread that speaks very clearly about that, but it does speak more generally about greed, as we're going to see. Proverbs 23, verse 4. "Do not toil to acquire wealth." You see how we could just stop here? Just pray. Just take some moments to pray. Do not toil to acquire. How many of us have spent years toiling to acquire wealth? Be discerning enough to desist. Or the New Living Translation puts it like this. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. Proverbs 28:20. "A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished." Proverbs 28:22. "The stingy are eager to get rich." Stingy is effectively the negative way of saying greed. If greed is, I want more, stingy is, you're not getting any of my stuff. Same issue. "The stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them." Two more. Proverbs 28:25. "A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched." And then Proverbs 30:7-9. "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. There's a great book. I haven't read it all, but Colin Dedis has, and he assures me it's worth your time. It's called Neither Poverty Nor Riches, based on this verse by Craig Blomberg, and it speaks about this issue, and I would just commend that book to you. These are the verses in Proverbs. These are only the ones that speak directly to the issue of greed. There are way more that speak about money. Money is a big issue when we're talking about wisdom, when we're talking about who God sees as wise and foolish. The Bible has an awful lot to say about money, but these verses are only focusing on the issue of greed. It is not unclear, right? We can see that. It is not unclear how the Bible speaks about greed. But in the time we have remaining, which is not much, I want to try and dig a little deeper. Why? Why does the Bible speak like that? And we're not going to be able to focus on all these like I'd hoped we would. We have six reasons. We'll run through them. Three negative things that greed highlights or brings about in our life, and three positive things that we're kept from if we're greedy. Why is this an issue? Here's why. First thing is this. First thing, greed is a serious problem. Don't write this off. Don't trivialize it. Greed is a serious issue. It's important to recognize that God takes greed very, very seriously. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is speaking about that which makes us unclean before God, and he's teaching us that there is something in our heart that exposes, our heart is exposed by our behavior, that our behavior flows out from whatever's in our heart. And Mark 7, 20 to 21 says this, he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, the evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder. So you just look at those three there, sexual immorality, theft, murder, you think, well, that's quite a list. Those are often the big ones that we would point to, the definite no-nos. Oh, yeah, clearly God's against murder. But that's not the end of the list. Jesus goes on in verse 21 to mention some other things. And bear in mind that the verse divisions in your Bible, those little numbers there, they weren't present when Jesus was speaking. He didn't stop and go, right, okay, now it's the next verse. I'm told, actually, those verse numbers were put in place by Irish priests at some point in over church history. And I've been told you should never trust anyone who's Irish. I'm allowed to say that. I've got Irish blood in me. So let's go on. Let's read it again, and then we'll go on this time. So Jesus says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed. Wow. There's greed in with a list of murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft. Don't let yourself be fooled that this isn't a serious issue. What do you need to do to deal with this issue of greed? We must deal with it. I found six different New Testament lists of different sins, different things that we are to put to death through Jesus' power and the Spirit's help. Listen to this. Greed was included along with things like murder, adultery, depravity, hatred of God, homosexual acts, drunkenness, rage, and so on and so forth. And greed is right there in the mix of every one of those lists. In 1 Corinthians 5, it even lists greed very explicitly and on its own. It lists greed as an issue which would indicate that you should separate yourself from a believer. If someone in this church is consistently showing themselves to have a greedy lifestyle, unrepentant, careless, I don't care what God wants, I want more, the Bible says you should separate that person, bring them to church discipline. Wow. This is a massive, serious issue. So please don't be concerned less about this than other issues. In the church, don't we love to prioritize and rank various sins? And get excited about some and just sweep some under the carpet. We can't do that. This is a serious issue. Next point, why is greed a serious issue? Because it has at its root idolatry. It's idolatry. Whenever we are greedy, we want something. We're identifying something that we want, that we feel we have to have. What we have isn't enough. We need something else. In fact, one of those lists of sins in the New Testament that I mentioned, Colossians 3, verse 5, explicitly relates greed to idolatry. It says, these things belong to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. It's idolatry. It's choosing something else over God. This is what happened right in the first sin, right, with Adam and Eve. They had this perfect relationship with God. But there was this one thing. There was this one thing which the scriptures say it seemed like it would have good food on it. It looked very tasty. She'd been sold the lie that it would increase their standing before God, making them wise. So they were greedy. They wanted that. They didn't want God. They wanted something else. Something else was more important to them than God. That's idolatry. When something else has become the focus of our affections, our desires, and we become greedy for it. We're saying, God, you're not enough for me. I want that. That's why it's serious. The third problem with greed is this. It's just silly. It's just not sensible. It's foolish. That's what Proverbs is about, right? It's foolish. There is no positive end goal to a life of greed. Think of money for a moment. I had a friend once who was just so explicit about what was probably true for all of us to some extent, but he just used to name it. He was like, oh, I'd love to be loaded. That was his aim in life. He wanted to be rich. And many make it their life's aim, right? To buy stuff, to have amazing holidays. And of course, why? Why? They're doing that because they think in that they'll be comfortable. They'll find peace. They'll find satisfaction. But you know, when you consider what the Bible teaches, that doesn't make sense. The Bible teaches us that we're not just made for a few years in this life. We're made for eternity. And when you think of the fact that we're made for eternity, these years in this life just become barely worth considering. Listen to what James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 say. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Okay, so same context here. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. That's what we are. That's what the Bible says. That's what we are. You know, when you walk out on a cold morning, we know what that feels like in Aberdeen. Summer or winter, we know what that feels like. And you breathe, and you see your breath there, and it's gone. That's what James is saying. Our life is just there, and it is gone. So what's the point in chasing after money? What is the point in chasing after more and more and more of whatever it might be? The very best we can do is pass all of that on to our children or those who are around about us. And scriptures are clear that there's danger in that in itself. So it's just silly. It just doesn't make sense. It's foolish. None of us know how long we're going to be here on this earth. We could be gone at any moment. And we really could be. I was hearing a story, a preacher who literally said those words, and no joke, someone dropped dead in their church virtually seconds after them saying that. Our lives are short. They are but a mist. What are we chasing after? It's foolish to spend all our energy chasing after stuff. Okay. Three reasons to avoid greed. Now I want to share with you three positive things that we should focus on, that greed just keeps us from. Three things for you to be encouraged about this week that will require you to put aside greed for you to know these blessings. Greed leads us further away from fullness of life. From fullness of life. Don't believe what the adverts are telling you. Get this, get that, and your life will be that little bit better. No. Jesus said explicitly what fullness of life looked like. What did he say? That you may have fullness of life? He said, I have come. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. That is what true joy and true peace looks like. And how hard it is for us to see that in this culture around us, when we are bombarded with so many other messages that tell us that is what trueness, fullness of life. You know, you want to know what your culture says fullness of life looks like? Go to Tesco, look at the magazine rack. Hobby, after pursuit, after advice, after self-help, after whatever it might be. Say, this is the way for you to be happy. This is what happiness looks like. Jesus says, I have come. I have come. You want to know fullness of life? You want to know blessing? It's in me. And greed leads us away from that place. Luke chapter 8. You remember the parable of the different types of soil? God's word goes forth and it falls different places. And Jesus is explaining that, how people respond to God's interest in their life. And listen to what he says in Luke 8:14. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. These things, riches, pleasures, they are like thorns that can grow up and pull us away from God. Another type of soil are the worries and the stresses and the difficulties of life. And some of us have seen friends and family who have had profound times of difficulty and they can't reconcile that with a God who loves them, so they've walked away because of that. But how many others have walked away from God because of this soil? Because of the pleasures and riches of life that have just crept up and sucked any lifeblood out of them that would acknowledge Jesus as their ultimate treasure and joy. See this in the rich young ruler as well, right? He wanted to honor God. He wanted to honor God, but he just couldn't be willing to give up what he had. That was his barrier. If you're greedy for money or whatever, leisure, socializing, fun, if that's what we chase after, it will lead us away from Jesus who came to bring us life in all its fullness. What truly brings you joy in your life? What truly brings you satisfaction? It is hard to discern sometimes, isn't it, in this culture of much that we live in. But do you feel your heart well up with joy in your times of worship, in your times of fellowship here in this church, as you understand and throw yourself upon the grace of God again and you pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? Is Jesus your joy? Greed leads us away from him to find treasure in other things that will fade away. Okay. The other thing that's dangerous about greed, point five, is that it leads us away from an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness to God. Perhaps some of us this morning are listening to this and thinking, well, thanks for the message, but to be honest, I would actually like an opportunity to be greedy. You know, I don't have a whole lot in my life, Martin. And to be honest, I'm struggling to make ends meet week in, week out. So yeah, you're right. Those rich people, they really should stop being greedy. But for me, well, every one of us here is rich this morning. We really are. Here's just briefly, you've all heard these things, but it's just helpful to hear them again. Does your household have a car? Perhaps not all of us, but most of us. Do you know that only 6 to 9%, 6 to 9, not 69, 6 to 9% of the world's population has a car. Billions of people would give anything to have a car. And we often are so excited about what the next car we can get. Did you have a glass of water today? At least 663 million people in the world don't have clean water available to them today. Have you eaten anything today? Around 800 million people will not eat today. 300 million of them are children. Every couple of seconds, someone dies just because they've not had enough to eat. How much money do you have access to today? Maybe some of us don't carry much cash anymore, but with our cards and things. About a billion people live on less than $1 a day. Friends, we're rich. We are rich. No matter how many of us are struggling financially today, the vast majority of the world would look on us and say, we are rich. And greed simply leads us to ignore that fact, to push it away and to chase after more rather than rejoicing with gratitude for all that God has given us. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Just briefly, this is one example of many I could look at. Bible's not against people being rich. Bible's against the love of riches. The Bible's against the pursuit of riches at the cost of nothing else. The Bible's against hoarding riches. Bible's not against those who are rich. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's God who provides all these blessings that we've talked about. Food is a gift from God. Water is a gift from God. Our clothes are a gift from God. This building is a gift from God. The seats that we are sitting on is a gift from God. The roof over our heads, the breath in our lungs, it's all a gift from God. And when we're greedy, we ignore that and we just, yeah, whatever, God, I want the next thing. Wow, God, forgive us. That passage goes on, and we're coming to our final point now. A passage after verse 17 is 1 Timothy 6:18, where it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So we understand we're rich, we put our hope in God, we give Him our thanks and our praise, and then we're commanded to do something else. We're commanded to use that wealth for His purposes. And this brings us to our final point. Greed, it keeps us from living God's way. God has a way that He wants us to live, and greed keeps us from that. I heard someone once say, lots of people love money and use people, but we're to love people and use money. The Bible is so clear that we are to have a very, very loose grip on our resources, especially for the household of God, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not exclusively, but especially. What we have is given to us so that we can pass it on, so that we can bless others. Again, this is not about us trying to find a charity box that we can tick, but it's about a completely different way of living. We don't have time to look at the verses, but Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6 speak to the way that God's people began to live and breathe and work. And it says they had all things in common. It talks about them selling their possessions and giving as much as was needed to those in need. It talks about them sharing their homes. It talks about a daily distribution of food to widows. It says that there was not a needy person among them. It's just such a beautiful picture of this one big team under God, loose grip on what they have, sharing it out as people are in need. Greed makes this impossible. Greed is about increasing what you have. Yeah, who cares about the need that other people have? I want more myself, which is just so sad, because the picture that the scriptures paint of this beautiful community of blessing and generosity is so encouraging. It's so exciting. It's such a wonderful thing for us to behold, a society where everyone is giving to those who are in need. And because you're giving things away, well, you might have a little less for a moment, but if you really do have a lot less, then someone else is looking to meet your need, and they're giving to you, and you're giving to someone else, and we're all blessing one another under God. We're saying, God, thank you for your goodness. I want to share your goodness with those around about me. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you've got this beautiful picture of this community who got it, who knew who God was, who knew that their satisfaction was in Him, and who knew that they wanted to share what they have with His people. It's such a beautiful picture. And you know what? We see that in this church. We do see that. I don't want us to go away feeling mega, mega guilty. I do want us to wrestle with these issues. But we do see many, many wonderful acts of generosity in this church. People who have a loose grip on their possessions. People who give unbelievable chunks of their wealth away. Unbelievable chunks of their wealth away. I need you to know, I do not know the details of what everyone gives in this church. I do not know the details of what is given in this church. But I've picked up little bits here and there, and I know that there are many wonderful examples in this church who have been given blessing from God and have open hands and want to share that with brothers and sisters and friends who are in need. May we see this more and more in our church. We're closing now. The Bible has a lot to say about greed. I won't recap the 6 points, but this is so pervasive in our society. It's far more subtle a sin, I think, than many others that we would think about. Someone said to me, wow, if the church needed to hear the talk about sexuality 10 years ago, this is the talk they need to hear more and more today. Now, I don't think we don't need to hear about sexuality, but I'm just saying, this is a serious issue for us. In the culture in which we live, this is a serious issue. So can we pray and ask God continually, be everything I need. Be everything I need. You be my all. You be my highest treasure. You be the center of my life. Keep me from striving after anything else but you. And let me just read some verses that speak to that as we close. There is one thing that you can be greedy for. You can be greedy for more of God and his blessings. Matthew chapter 6, 19-20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy. They're going to get destroyed, where thieves break in and steal. It's all going to go, but store up something. Store up something. Be greedy for something. What? Be greedy for treasures in heaven. Store that up. Store that up. Hold on to that. Understand that one day you're going to meet your Maker face to face, and he is going to reward us. And store up those treasures in heaven. Live in such a way that you're preparing for that. Remember Paul in Philippians 3 talking about all the different things that the world and the culture of his day held dear? And he's talking about how, you know, all this important stuff that other people would think was precious. He says, I just think it's rubbish compared to what? The surpassing joy of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The fact that in Christ he's counted as righteousness. And he was greedy for more of that. Do you remember what Paul said? I want to know Christ. I want something. I want something. I'm going to put aside anything else because I want something. What? He wanted to know Christ. I press on. I'm striving for something. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus called me heavenward. He says, forgetting what's behind and straining towards. I am going to work for something towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Can we press on for that? Can we strive for that? Can we be greedy for the riches of God? And then just, I'm going to close with these phrases. There are lots of riches that the Bible speaks about that we should want to know. We should want to know the riches of his grace. We should want to know the riches of his glorious inheritance that God has for his children. We should want to know the riches that bring us strength by the Holy Spirit. We should want to know the riches of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We should want to know the riches of knowing Christ. There are riches there, brothers and sisters and friends, that we should be dogged about chasing after. And I just want to encourage you, chase after the riches that we find in Christ Jesus, not the riches of this world, which will pass away. Oh God, help us. Let's pray. Father God, help us. How easily deceived we are. How blind we become. How numb we become. God, it is so hard for us to know what to do with this message. Where is the line, Father? How much is too much? Which gadget is too much? Which kitchen bin is too much? Which house is too much? Which car is too much? Lord, it is difficult. It is really hard for us to figure out. God, we know we've got it wrong at times. So we pray for your forgiveness.
And we know that we have consequences from decisions that we've made. So God, we pray for grace and wisdom to deal with those well. And I pray that from today forward, thank you that you want to lead us into paths of righteousness. I pray that from today forward, we might chase after the riches of the glory of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have treasure. We have treasure in us, in jars of clay. Oh God, help us marvel at that treasure. Help us marvel at Jesus Christ, who came to bring us life and life in all its fullness. And in that, God, we believe, and we believe that your Spirit will enable us to let the things of this world fritter away. More and more, help us, we pray. Be glorified, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.